This morning we're going to think about who and what is the church. So I want you to help me. I want you to forget everything you know about church. Forget everything you know about church. I read in my Bible today about a man who started his own religion. His name was Jeroboam. And he made up his own holidays. And he made two new gods for Israel to worship. And he kicked out God's leaders, and he made his own leaders. And he put them in place of God's leaders. And everybody believed him. Because they didn't read the Bible. There are things in American churches that aren't in the Bible. We call them tradition. They're just tradition. There are things in Korean churches that are not in the Bible. They're just tradition. There are things we do because that's what my father did. And that's what his father did. So what if we only have the Bible? How would you do church? Let's think about a few things about church from the Bible. And my first thought is, who is in the church? The very beginning of the book to the Philippians that Paul wrote, he talks about everybody that's in the church in one sentence. And it's Philippians, and it's chapter 1 and verse 1, and it says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. That's the town where the church was. If it was us, it would be in Milan or in Rock Island, okay? But he's talking about the church in Philippi, and he says, including, that means plus, the overseers and deacons. So you might say from this verse that in the church we have workers, a servant. We have workers in the church like missionaries. They don't really belong to this church. They don't belong to that church. They go from church to church and work. We also have a group of people called saints. Who are the saints? But it says, in the group of people called saints, there are overseers and deacons. Now, if we only have the Bible, this is all we know about church. What we know about church so far is that the church is made up of saints, and with the saints there's overseers and deacons. There are people who also are workers. So let's think about workers first of all. There are missionaries, aren't there? Ever met a missionary? All right, I have. And so we're thinking about these bond servants. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians in English. And this is what 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 says. What then is Apollos? Well, Apollos is a famous preacher. He was a very good speaker. And a lot of people liked him. But he says, what then is Apollos and what then is Paul? Well, who was Paul? Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament, didn't he? He's a very famous Christian. He says he worked harder than any other worker. Apollos and Paul were workers. One was a preacher, one was a teacher, and they both traveled from church to church. But they're bond servants. But let's see what it says. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants. Isn't that what Paul said right up here? We're servants. It says, through whom you believed. Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted. Paul, this is Paul writing. Paul says, I planted, and the other man, Apollos, he watered, but it God was causing the growth. So that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. If Paul is nothing, if Apollos is nothing, who is something in the church? Who is the something in the church? God. Look, it says, so then neither is the one who plants, which was Paul, right, or the one who waters, that was Apollos, is anything. Neither is anything but God. When Paul spoke, God helped people believe. So the most famous people in Christianity that you can ever think of, Paul and Apollos, they're servants. Nobody in the church today, or ever in the history of the church, is really more important than Paul, or more important than Apollos. But they said, well, what are we? It's God, isn't it? The center of the church, the most important person in the church, is not the worker, it's God. And that's so important. Let's read this sentence in white here. The church is about God, not about servants. That's so important. We honor servants, don't we? We are glad for good teachers. I am thankful for the men who taught me the Bible. And I am thankful for the men who taught me how to study the Bible. But it was God working with those men. And the church is all about God. So if we're thinking about the church, the first thing to think about is we have servants, but the church is really about God. Who would like to read 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 7 in that language right up there? Hey, so would you like, can you read it from that far away?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So according to what Heso just read, the church is about God. The church is about God. Everyone else who works is a servant. So we worship God in church. Now there's someone else besides the servants who's next in the list. Who's next in the list for the church at Philippi? You've got the bond servants, the servants like Paul. But the saints. All right? Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Poser, can you read the Koran for this verse? So, we've got servants. Now we've got saints. Now, who are the saints in the church? Who are the saints? Well, are you a saint? Good question. A saint is a holy person. The word saint means holy person. Paul wrote another book to the church at Corinth. And he talks about the people in the church, and here's what we're going to learn. If you're saved, you are a saint.
Whoa.
Really? If you're saved, you are a saint. That's amazing. If the Bible didn't say it, I wouldn't say it. But this says to the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now, this is not Philippi. This is the city of Corinth. But it's another church. He says, to those who have been sanctified. That means to those who have been made saints. That's sanctified. Made saints are made holy in Christ Jesus. Saints by calling. He's saying, you Christians in the church, God made you saints. You're sanctified. You're saints by calling. When you're called to Jesus, you believe in the Lord Jesus. God calls you then. You're a saint. I make you holy, God said. It's an amazing thing. And he says that's true with everybody, with all who in every place. Well, where are we today? Well, we're in Milan right now. Is that every place? Yeah, this is one of the every places, isn't it? It's true here. It's true in Thailand. It's true in Israel. It's true in Corinth. It's true in Philippi. Everyone who has been called to Jesus, God calls you a saint. Is Jesus your Savior? You're a saint. Is Jesus your Savior? You're a saint. Is Jesus your Savior? You're a saint. That's amazing. So, I put this down here for us to think about. Nancy is doing the wordless book in the back of the kids, so I thought I'll do it with us. If you are a sinner, think about your dark heart. Sin has darkened your heart, has darkened your mind. Everyone comes in the world with sin. Everyone comes in the world as a sinner. So if you, as a sinner, trust Jesus to save you, you say, Lord Jesus, I cannot save myself. But Lord Jesus, I trust you to save me from sin. I trust you to do what I cannot do. And so if you do that, the blood of Jesus washes you clean. He cleaned your mind. He cleaned your heart. And he does more than that. He gives you, you can't really read it very well, but he gives you eternal life. This is how he makes you holy. He cleaned your mind. He cleaned your heart. He makes you clean. And then he gives you life that can never be taken away. You are ready. You become a saint, ready for heaven, just like that. Is that you? Because the only thing between you and this is trusting Jesus. All right? So if today you say, that's not me, I don't know if I'm ready for heaven, Jesus is saying right now, I want to make you ready for heaven. Don't wait for the end of the message. Just right now, stop trying to save yourself. Let Jesus do what he can do and what he alone can do. Wash you with his blood. If you do, you are then a saint. Okay? So the whole church, I think we should read this one in Corinth also. This is 1 Corinthians. Anyone else like to read? Kayla, would you like to read that? Thank you.
So that's what it said in Corinth. To the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been made saints in Christ Jesus, saints by calling with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord, call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Now, there's another group of people. So far in the church, we're thinking about the church. Who is the church? Well, the church has servants, like Paul. The church has missionaries. They're all servants. But everyone in the church is saved as saints. But within the saints, there's overseers. Now, here's the verse, we already read that, about overseers. In English, this is pretty easy. You see the word S-E-E? It's someone who sees or looks, right? It's someone who looks over. He's like the superintendent at work. Someone who watches how things go in the church and helps. So there's a group of men in the church. One of their names is overseers. And they're kind of like superintendents. And they make sure that we're following the Bible. They make sure that things are going the way God would have them to go. That's the overseers. But we have to learn, who are these men? I don't always use the word overseer. It's not a word I use every day. And so what does the Bible say? Who are, and I'm going to tell you before we even start, the overseers are the same as the elders, the shepherds or pastors, and bishops. And here's what we're going to see. We're going to look at Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to pick out a few verses from there. Paul is talking to a church in Acts chapter 20. If you have a Bible, look at Acts chapter 20. And I'm going to pick out some of the verses about overseers in here. The reason this is important is because God is everything in the church. God is everything. But he has human leaders. So we forgot everything we know about church. We don't know who the leaders are. But we know now that they're going to be these men here. And let's read about what the Bible says in Acts chapter 20. And I am going to start reading verse 17, Acts 20, 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. Now that's very important, verse 17. It says, Paul was in Miletus, and he called the church leaders from the church at Ephesus. And when he called them, he said, I want the elders to come here. And so what did Paul call the church leaders in verse 17, who were the leaders of the church at Ephesus? He called them elders. Now, if you take out the word, the letter E here, and you put O, what is that? Older. It's exactly what it means. He called the men who were the older leaders. They were leaders because they were older. We use the word mature. They have spiritual maturity. Some old people never studied the Bible. They're older, but they're not smarter in the Bible. But the older people in the church who study the Bible, who are the church leaders, are called elders. And they're the people who make decisions in a church.
I noticed something else there at verse 17. Did Paul call for the pastor of the church? No. Did Paul call for the elder of the church? There's singular and there's plural, right? In verse 17, is elder singular or is elder plural? It's plural. There's more than one. You mean the church at Ephesus had more than one elder pastor? Yes. Every church that Paul helped to start, he worked to find more than one person to be the elder, overseer, bishop, shepherd, pastor in that church. So when it came to this church, he called all the elders of the church in verse 17. So that's a church leader, is an elder. And verse 28. In verse 28, Paul says, same group of people, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you the overseers. Now, this is a very interesting verse. So I hope you have your Bible open to see this, because he tells this group of people, the elders, I should put an S on that, he tells those people, the elders, I want you to guard. But he doesn't say, I want you to guard the church. I want you to guard the flock. What in the world is a flock? Could be a bunch of birds, right? A flock of geese. What other animals come in flocks? Not horses. What kind of animal are you? We are sheep. Doesn't the Bible say all of us, like sheep, have gone astray? Each one followed our own way, but the Lord put our iniquity on the Lord Jesus. God calls us sheep, and so when he talks to these men who are the elders, and now he's calling them overseers, he says, I want you to guard God's people like sheep, like you're a shepherd watching your flock so the animals don't... Have you ever lost an animal because another animal ate it? Even in the Quad Cities, a coyote will eat your dog or your cat if you're not careful. You have to guard the animals. So the Lord is telling the church leaders, you have to guard the saints. That's the job of the church leaders. And there he called them overseers. Now, English is a terrible language, so don't learn English. Because one Bible there says it's overseers, and another Bible calls them bishops. And it's just because English is crazy, but you know the word telescope or microscope or other scopes? It's in there, by scope. It's a person who actually looks over, but it's really old English. So you don't have... Bishop means someone who looks over. And it's the same word, just two English words. One's old English. But this is really important to think about. All right, who should be the church leaders? What are they like? So Paul has several words for church leaders. They should be elders. They should be mature men. You should be able to talk to your church leader and ask them a Bible question. And they should be able to tell you the answer or find the answer for you very quickly. Because that's their job. They're supposed to be old in the Bible. Your church leader, the overseer, should be watching you. He should be, if you're in trouble, he should kind of know. He should say, are you okay? Is everything all right? Are you having trouble? Because he's watching you like a shepherd watches his sheep. And he cares for you. A church leader has to care for you. A church leader has to know the Bible and be elder, older in the scripture. Let's see, verse 28 also. I'm going to reread verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Verse 28 says that these men are shepherds. It uses the verb. It says, I want you to shepherd. Now, once again, English is a terrible language. Don't learn English. It's confusing. But the old word for a person who took care of sheep in English was pastor. And he took care of his sheep, and it means to feed the sheep, to pasture sheep. But the word today is a shepherd, someone who takes care of sheep. And he says, I want you men who are the elders, I want you to watch out for God's sheep, and I want you to shepherd them. That means feed the Bible. Take care of. If someone's hurt, you give them a Band-Aid on their finger. If someone's hurting in their heart because maybe they've lost someone they love, then the shepherd should put his arm around that person and love that person and care for that person and call that person up on the phone. You understand? This is, let's think about what the leader, the church leader is now, okay? He should be mature in the Bible. He should be looking out for each one of us. He should be a worker. He should work at pastoring, feeding, and taking care of God's sheep. And all three of these titles, these words, elder, overseer, shepherd, is the same God, the same man. So, one way at Oak Ridge Bible Chapel is we try to do what Paul did. We try to look for men who are mature, and we invite them to try to care for God's people like shepherds. And if they have the heart of a shepherd, then eventually they share as elders. Now there's another, if you should really, if you don't have your Bible open today, when you get home, open your Bible to Acts 20:28. Because so much of what we're saying is just from that one verse. But I want to read this again, so really listen very closely. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Do you get the little phrase among? If I'm among you, right now I'm in front of you, right? Alright. Right now, I'm among you, right? So what does God say about the shepherds? He says, the church leaders are among the people of God. We're part of the people of God. And that's what Paul said. He says, to the church at Philippi with all the saints, including the overseers and deacons. You see, who could be an elder? Well, one of the qualifications, it has to be a man. Or it has to be a man. But it could be you. It could be you. It could be one of you boys one day. Because God raises up shepherds and elders out of people who are studying the Bible in the church. Isn't that exciting? You don't have to be hired. You don't have to be
full time. Mark works at John Deere. He has a job. But Mark is one of the shepherds or the elders at Oak Ridge Bible Chapel. I do nothing all day. And so I'm one of the shepherds at Oak Ridge, but I don't have a job, okay? My job is to teach the Bible, and I do that in different places. But also, I started right here in that room where you are, listening to my father-in-law teach the Bible. And I grew up and I learned the Bible too. And I started caring about what happened in this assembly. And so you know what? God then raised me up to be an elder in the group. So this is something for any of you guys. And there's other rules, but primarily, you don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to have a license. Do you understand that? No person can give you a license. And there are a lot of pastors who have licenses to be pastors who aren't doing this. All right? But a real church looks for the men who care about the Christians and says, you are a shepherd. We want you to shepherd us. Okay, that makes sense, right? Okay. I don't want to belabor it. I don't want to drag it out longer than I should, but I do want to make sense. Now, I said this earlier, but I want to point it out again. Paul did not appoint one pastor. He appointed more than one elder or pastor in each church. And just to be brief, the practice of Paul, it says, we already read this, he appointed elders in every church, that's Acts 14:23. See the S? The practice of Peter... Peter said he was an elder among his fellow elders. He had the S on elders. The Jewish churches in Jerusalem, Acts 15:2, when the church made a decision, they called for the elders with the S on it. Okay? The Gentile churches in Crete, Titus was asked to appoint elders in every church and told what kind of men would be those elders. The Asian churches in Asia Minor, when Paul, this is again Acts 14:23, if a church was in Asia, he put the same kind of leaders that he put in if a church was in Europe. When the church first started, all the leadership was Bible-centered. And then the European churches also. We just read that in Philippians with the overseers. So, this is really important. We try to have more than one man to be pastors, elders, overseers. What was the other? Shepherds. What word am I missing? Anyway, because that's what God did. Like, why would it, just put your thinking caps on for one moment. Why would it be good to have more than one pastor in a church or more than one elder in a church? Just think about, why would that be good? Suppose the pastor is involved in sin. If he's alone, who's going to say to him, you gotta stop, or you have to get out? If there's two or there's three men, they're going to watch each other. What if one man has to move away? Then there's another man still there. And we don't lose a pastor. Okay? So by having more than one pastor, the church is stable. The church has a foundation. And also, if there's more than one pastor, it's easier to see the Lord Jesus. Because people will say, who is your pastor? And you go, well, let's see, Mark is an elder, Craig is an elder. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, doesn't it? The Lord
is my shepherd, the Lord is my pastor, I shall not want. You can say, Jesus is my pastor. And in my church, we have several men who shepherd underneath the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's Jesus as the head, and then there's elders who rule under him, but they're in the whole body of saints. To me, this is exciting, because how do you do church? It's very important. And I'm going to just close with this. How do you become an elder? Obviously, you have to start reading your Bible and studying your Bible and obeying your Bible. But here's the word aspire. Aspire means to really, really want something and really, really be working. Did you ever get a computer? And suddenly you have to understand everything about the computer. You have to understand how Windows works. You have to understand how to download programs. And you have to understand what all the F keys on the top do. And suddenly you're studying and you're working so that you can make this computer work. Well, guess what? It's the same in the church. If you want to be a spiritual leader, you have to want it more than the air you breathe. You have to work for it more than you work for the money you make. All right? That's aspiring. And then the Holy Spirit is the one who really appoints. He says, be on guard for the flock of God over which, we've read this verse like 100 times so far. Can you read it when you go home, Acts 20:28, and think about it? He says, be on guard for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has appointed or made you the overseers. Who made those men the overseers? God, the Holy Spirit. So, some young people, I can see God's hand is on your life. And God wants to single you out for a special service. And it may be to be a leader in the church. You may go to Bible school, you may not go to Bible school, but you will study your Bible and you will care for the people of God. But the Holy Spirit will set you apart. So a man aspires, the Holy Spirit appoints, and here's us, we're the assembly. We say, oh, that man. He's doing the work. He's caring for me. I see. That's the word recognized. I see that this man, whoever he is, he's taking care of the church. And so we're going to officially then say, this man over here, he's not there right now, but when he gets there, we recognize that God has his hand on you, that you're doing the work, and we officially recognize that you are an elder or a shepherd in this assembly. Well, what did you learn today? If you knew nothing about church, did you learn something now about what is church leadership and who is in the church? There's the saints. There's those workers that go all throughout the body of Christ. There are the overseers and leadership in the church. This is church God's way. Don't forget to read Acts 20:28. Think about some of these other things and always examine your Bible to see if what the preacher is saying is the truth. Okay? Always look at your Bible. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the church of the Lord Jesus. I thank you that he bought the church with his blood. He died to win a bride for himself. We thank you too that the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses lost sinners and makes us saints and puts us in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray there'd be something practical, something beneficial, something that would mold our framework of thinking today. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.